One pick. One throne.
Hello, everyone. This is King of the Hill Survival Pool Show. I'm your host, Sean Stewart, on this, December 17, 2025. Glad to have you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. As you know, I used to do the show on Thursdays, but hey, Wednesday's much better than doing Thursday. And also, the 586 Sports website is under construction, so you won't see that until Friday. So I have my good friend, Mr. James, all the way from Toronto. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, man, we had a wonderful week. So not only we had NFL, but we also had the Heisman Trophy, of course. We want to give a shout-out to Fernando Mendoza for winning the Heisman Trophy. So this is the first time Indiana has ever had accomplished like that, because I remember when I was growing up, Indiana used to be like the one of the worst football teams for college football.
Yeah, Kirk Cignetti really came into that program 2 years ago. He came out of JMU, who is also a college football playoff team under a new leader, but he came into Indiana and really set a culture, and he set his way, his culture, and everyone in. This is now their second year that everyone's bought in like this, and it's done wonders for Indiana.
That is very terrific. That's very terrific. So, also during on the show, I will explain to you how to play Splash Sports College Football Playoff Survival Pool. This is the second time that's ever happened before. So before I begin, so make sure that you follow us on social media. Let me get that. So make sure you follow King of the Hills Survival Pool Show on social media at King of the Hills on X, and then Instagram at King of the Hill Survivor. And new Splash Sports customers can use code UUM2IX to get $10 free, $10 credits when you enter a contest that is $10 or more. That is also including people that lives in Canada. All right, so now we got that out the way. So we want to do a recap of last week. So I am still in my survivor pool for both of my contests, so I'm happy. So the teams that, there was a lot of teams actually won for like popular picks. For example, the San Francisco 49ers beat the Tennessee Titans, which of course that did happen. The Jacksonville Jaguars did put a beatdown on the New York Jets. As a matter of fact, I remember during that blowout, Travis Etienne had three touchdowns, and then the Jets had to fire their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, the former defensive coordinator that used to be the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. I totally forgot about that. I was like, well, that explains to why the New York Jets gave away so many points with 48 points against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, these games are crazy this weekend. Personally, for the 1 o'clock games, I had my eyes set on that Patriots-Bills game and then also on that Kansas City versus Chargers game. Those two games, I think they both went down to the wire. The Patriots game, the Patriots had them up 21, and then they just let Josh Allen get loose. And once he got loose, they couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop James Cook. They couldn't stop anyone on that Bills offense. And the Bills are now looking like the Bills we normally see, whereas earlier on in the season, they looked like a completely disenfranchised version of themselves.
Exactly. Because I was like, because at first I thought, like, you know what, the game was over, and then all of a sudden Buffalo came back and win it. So right now the series is split, because the last time New England did beat the Bills at Buffalo, and then Buffalo just beat New England.
If you're tuning into that division, there is a one game difference, but the Patriots as of right now still hold the tiebreaker, as the Patriots have the better divisional record than the Bills. So if the Patriots if the Patriots win against Miami and lose against the Jets, or vice versa, then if the Bills win out, they win the division. Whereas if the Patriots win those last two games of the season, then they win the division. So that division will very much go down to that Week 18 game, Patriots versus the Dolphins.
And we did say something last week. We were warning people about the Thursday night football game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and proving that the Atlanta Falcons did beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So right now, even though both teams did lose, Tampa Bay still has the lead in the NFC South. But when if you looked at that game on Thursday night, there were some very bad calls and there were some sloppy plays. But I got to tell you, like, this is like, because, you know, Baker Mayfield do have an injury with his shoulder injury. So that's why you're seeing him throwing the football. But I'm not surprised that Tampa Bay lose to Atlanta, because even though we do say something bad about Kirk Cousins, I got to tell you that Atlanta, they could be iffy at times. They could be iffy at times, especially on the road.
Yeah, Atlanta's a very streaky team. They can play with the best of them, and they can also bring people down to their level. Once Baker Mayfield threw that interception when they were driving with about 8 minutes left, me personally, my stomach started to turn. I felt like I was starting to get flashbacks from 3 or 4 years ago when Atlanta did the same thing that time in Atlanta. And what do you know? It happens again. So these Atlanta teams, they're really streaky. They've been like this ever since Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix have been at the helm, ever since Raheem Morris has been at the helm. That's why betting against Atlanta is a very risky bet. You're really going to be watching, especially in the first half. Like, they played Seattle. That game was tied in the first half, and then Seattle ran away with it. So Atlanta's a really – you're going to be paying attention if you're going to pick against them.
And then another one I also noticed, because I did figure Seattle was going to win it, but I also looked at that loss margin between the Colts and the Seahawks, because I did watch that game on my laptop. I was thinking at first, like, oh, man, the Colts is going to put an upset against Seattle, but Seattle came back and overcome that win. So as we're going to talk about Week 16, I got to say, like, this is like right now in Week 16 all the way to beyond. This is where, like, you really have to pay attention. And this right now where you have to really pay attention, like, which team could be a popular pick, and more games could be trapped and less could be safe games. And we'll explain to that later.
Yeah, I mean, every game now, I feel just like most football fans, I mean, who the heck do you pick? Because I think everyone around the league has seen an upset somewhere over somebody. And this year, more than others, we've seen a lot more parity around the league. So if you're confused about who to pick this week, it's a great time to tune in. These last couple of weeks is a great time to tune in. I mean, me and Sean have been pretty good the last Sean's been good all year, but I think we did a good job last week. Now would be a great time to start kind of writing down, you know, daunting your exes, you know.
Exactly. So right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload the grid sheet for week 16. Let me see if that grid sheet's coming up. Okay, there it is. Okay, there it is. So I am going to upload the grid sheet for the NFC. So we'll talk about NFC and then we'll talk about the AFC. So as you're looking into the grid sheet right now, so you're seeing Chicago is playing Green Bay. So according to Splash Sports, they have a 51% chance of beating the Green Bay Packers. Then I also noticed that they gave Detroit a 76% beating Pittsburgh, but I was like, hey, they may be favored if you're a betting person, but from a survival pool perspective, I see this game as trap, because you never know, like, which Detroit Lions and which which Pittsburgh and what Detroit Lions team you may see. But what I am concerned is if you're picking the Lions, I got to be concerned about Aaron Rodgers and that secondary, because you know how Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers can throw that football like deep. And, of course, Detroit Lions meltdown. So, to me, I would avoid this game. And plus, two of these teams are trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit being a 76% favorite, in my opinion, I thought was one of the crazier percentages I saw today. But I think Pittsburgh is a really streaky team. Pittsburgh plays good at times. Pittsburgh also looks like they're stuck in the mud at times. But overall, I would say Detroit is the stronger team. Now, Detroit's playing at home, which favors them. But also, like I said, Pittsburgh is a strong team. Pittsburgh is playing for a playoff spot, and they're leading their division. So it's a little funny to me that they're such a large underdog. So I would stay away from this game personally.
So as I'm, let me look at the odds right now. So they the Lions are favored by 6.5. The Lions are favored by 6.5. Wow, that's a big number. That's a big number. Then I'm also, and then of course I would tell anybody stay away from the Chicago Green Bay game. There's another one I will avoid. Depends on what your survivor pool look like, because right now my survivor pool, I have a lot of elite teams, but this one's kind of more of a risk because you have a Minnesota Vikings team, even though they are technically eliminated, they're going to go on the road to face the New York Football Giants. Now, for me, I'm thinking like, okay, this game is at New Jersey, not New York, excuse me. It's in New Jersey, even though it says New York. Kirk Cousins, iffy, because, you know, last year he had that injury last year. And then I'm looking at the Giants, it's like, that could be like a possible trap. That's another one. So if you have like a lot of elite teams in your survival pool, I would definitely avoid that. But if you have like a limited amount of teams, I would say pick Minnesota, but please be very cautious. That's all I would say about that.
Yeah, Minnesota, they looked really good against Dallas. Now, a lot of teams have looked like Super Bowl contenders against that Dallas defense, but I mean, J.J. McCarthy looked like he finally had a good game, some could say a breakout game. He will need to carry that momentum into this game against New York. As much as the Vikings are eliminated, the Vikings do not look like they're playing like an eliminated team. They are playing like a team who is trying to play spoiler and beat every team in their schedule. If you don't have a lot of great teams in your league, I would pick Minnesota over the Giants. But if you can avoid it, I would.
Exactly, because like I said, since I have a lot of elite teams, I would definitely avoid this game. You don't want to be – there's no reason for you to pick this game anyway. It's like, why even mention it?
Yeah, I agree. I think this Philly versus Washington Commanders game is – that could be a very interesting contest. We haven't seen Philadelphia play against Washington yet this year, and Philadelphia's offense hasn't been very inspiring. There's been a lot of questions about their offensive coordinator and their – sorry, what was that? Yeah, I couldn't get that, but – Their game against Washington will definitely be a must-win for Philadelphia. The question will be, will they play well against the Commanders? And if you're asking me, I will probably say after their performance last week, yes, I would book Philadelphia for a win, but it might come down to that fourth quarter.
Now, with that being said, this will be like one of the safest picks this upcoming week, because they do play on a Saturday. So the Philadelphia Washington game is one of the games. And then after that is the Chicago Green Bay game. So those games will be on Saturday while the rest of them be on Sunday. Of course, the Rams and the Seahawks is tomorrow. Of course, that's a rivalry game. You don't want to mess with that one. Then another one I'm also looking at is another one. This is a risky one, but I would not even touch this. Would be the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, in the month of December, they're actually struggling against AFC teams. Because usually in the month of December, you would think the Dallas Cowboys would win this game. But this is another one. Like, you got both of these teams that are trying to get into the playoffs. But at least for the Chargers, we don't know like what type of seed they would be in, because the AFC is kind of wide open in terms of like playoff spot. But Dallas, with their defense, I can't trust them. And of course, even though the Chargers do have a banged up offensive line, I still wouldn't even touch that game. So like I said, if you have a lot of elite teams in your survival pool, I would not even touch that game. Matter of fact, I would avoid this on a 6-foot pole.
You know, I'm still a little surprised that the Chargers are such are an underdog at all in this game. I understand that they looked really flat in the Jaguars game, but after that game, they had a very convincing win against the Raiders. Against the Eagles, where they were also an underdog, they had a really solid win, and they beat the Chiefs yesterday and eliminated them. So I think the Chargers really should be a much scarier team. I'm kind of surprised that they're not favored in this game. I think the one thing going in Dallas's favor is the Chargers lost to two of Dallas's divisional foes against the Commanders and the Giants. But other than that, I mean, you take that aside, the Chargers look like the better team overall. The Chargers have the better record. Other than a banged up offensive line, I would take the Chargers every day of the week. I'm quite perplexed that Dallas is favored.
And also the one thing about the Chargers is the fourth quarter letdowns, because the Chargers do have the audacity to screw things up.
Oh yes, they do. Oh yes, they do. They are quite known for that. But I mean, Dallas hasn't looked stellar all year. I think everyone has taken that Dallas defense as a tune-me-up game, get the offense back into a fighting shape. But Dallas, I don't think Dallas will produce now, especially that they're eliminated from the playoffs, nearly as well. I think their receivers will be a little less motivated. We've seen George Pickens have a lack of motivation before. I think being eliminated from the playoffs certainly won't help that lack of motivation.
I absolutely agree. Now, the next one you would definitely avoid is definitely between these two, because whoever win that game will be the first in the NFC South. That is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. Now, both of these teams are inconsistent, and we don't know who's going to turn over the ball more. Now, one thing about Carolina, they have upset teams this year. Would be like the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau. But I'm looking at it like this. Like, if it was like a healthy Buccaneers team, I would say Buccaneers. But with them being this so close, I'm like, no. And so I'm looking at the all-time series. The Panthers actually lead this series 25-24. I did not even know that. And then the last few matchups has been 26-23 in overtime, 21-18. 9-0. So, and then Baker Mayfield, even though he has 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, the Buccaneers do have stalled drive, inconsistent run game, and then the red zone volatility. So I'm like, no. Matter of fact, I would not even touch these two in the rest of my survivor pool, if you think about it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't go anywhere near this game. I like Tampa Bay as a team. I think they're a better team than Carolina. But let's look at their last couple of games. Tampa Bay has lost 5 of their last 6, and Carolina hasn't been very good either. They've gone loss, win, loss, win ever since their win against the Jets. So Carolina's been very up and down, and Tampa has been, ever since their hot start, has been on a fast decline. So this division typically goes down to whoever is best of the rest. But I mean, this season more than others, we are really seeing a best of the rest level team out of this division.
Now, here's another one that I've been talking to people, is that the Monday Night Football game that is between the San Francisco 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I forgot to put the winning percentage. Now, the percentage is for the 49ers is a 70.6, according to Splash Sports. And once again, like when it comes to survivor pools, you don't want to look at just the loss. You also want to look at the point margin. That's what many survivor pools tend to forget, because you have some survivor pool players that think they know it all. But when the 49ers play on turf, on the road, they kind of struggle. This year, they're not the same team like they usually be, but he'll probably come back, because it must have been in and out. But I just don't feel like the San Francisco 49ers is worth the pick against this Indianapolis Colts team, because something tells me that this Indianapolis Colts may even pull this upset against the San Francisco 49ers. And plus, the Indianapolis Colts is trying to get a playoff spot, even though they don't have Daniel Jones as their QB because he's out for the rest of the season. So it's like, what's the point of even picking this between these two? I think we can't even hear you because your volume. Hold on a second. All right, how about now? Okay, because I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, yes, I can hear you now. I was saying about the Monday Night Football game between the 49ers and the Colts. I was saying this, like, I don't really feel confident in this game because I know many people say it as a save, but I can see this as a possible trap because you got the Indianapolis Colts just trying to get a not only a win, but trying to get into that playoff spot, even though they have Phillip Rivers as their quarterback, even though he didn't do that much. But something tells me that the Colts may pull off this upset against the San Francisco 49ers. I have a strange feeling about that on Monday night. I really do.
Yeah, I think the Colts looked really strong in that game against the Seahawks. I mean, they looked about as strong as they could without their top, I think, two or three quarterbacks now if they're onto Phillip Rivers. So I think Indianapolis really still is fighting for playoffs. In their heads, at least, they still think that they can make it. But I think San Fran will win. I just don't know how close. And I would stay away from that game. I think that Monday night game is just, you're going to be thinking about it all weekend as well. You're really going to be wondering how good your pick is. I think you're just putting yourself in a stressful situation.
Now, here's what people don't know about the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are actually 6-1 at home this season. That is, like, terrific. Now, I'm looking at Jonathan Taylor because he has, like, 1,443 yards with 16 touchdowns, while McCaffrey has 922 yards and 9 touchdowns. Now, the Colts defense, Latino Latu has 7 sacks, and then Zaire Franklin has 104. So they do create pressure and force mistakes. And then also, the Colts leads the all-time series 27-19. So the last time they faced each other, the Colts beat the 49ers back in 2021. That's a very interesting stat right there.
Yeah, it is. I think the Colts certainly are currently still fighting. I think Jonathan Taylor struggled the last couple of weeks, so I think if they can get him going, then their offense will produce more. If you look at him, if you even want to look at fantasy numbers, he has been fantasy running back the last 2 weeks, number 35. So if you want to talk about a player's singular production and look at fantasy numbers, running back 35, especially when we're talking about a guy who's at least a top three normally, is just not where you want to see it. If he can pick it up this week, San Fran is really going to be in for something.
And not to mention, this is the last week for the Fantasy Football Championship round because this is week 16. And then after that, of course, most of the players will be playing like backups, stuff like that. Now, I totally forgot about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh actually drafted a QB. I totally forgot about that. He was drafted in the sixth round. I think he played for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He was drafted in the sixth round. I can't think of the top of my head, but I know Miami is going to start. Well, Tua's going to be in the bench, but what was that quarterback from Texas?
Quinn Ewers.
Yes, thank you, from Texas. I totally forgot about him. He's been totally quiet.
Yeah, I mean, they have not used him at all. I thought they were going to maybe go to him a little early this year, but they have not used him at all, and he was a real big question mark coming out of college. People thought the year before he was going to be in the draft, but he ended up having a poor season. So I think Quinn Ewers, for most fans' perspective, is not a guy with a lot of bright side, but I mean, you never know. Some guys really turn out to be great quarterbacks in the league when they were just mid-tier college quarterbacks.
All right, so we showed that in the NFC, so I'm going to show you the AFC chart. And then after that, I'm going to tell you like which two teams you're going to pick in the college football survival pool and how to play that. So let us show that in the AFC. All right, so it's in two, so you'll see it. All right, so now we did talk about the Pittsburgh and Detroit. Now Pittsburgh has a 23%. Now the one game I'm really, really very let me put that in the share screen. The one game I'm very concerned is, even though Buffalo did win to play New England, something tells me that this game is another trap one, because Buffalo is coming off an overcoming win against New England, and we have seen teams that have great wins that week, and then the next week they fall on their faces. And we've seen Cleveland made some upsets this year. So I'm thinking like, oh no, this is not a great idea if you pick Buffalo in this series. And Buffalo's defense could put the pressure on rogue teams. But, and also you got to think about Buffalo. Buffalo do have the audacity to screw things up. So I won't be surprised if Buffalo lose this game against Cleveland.
Now I'm gonna go against you here, Sean. I think Buffalo is a lock. I think Cleveland looked so bad. I know they went into the Windy City and they went into Chicago, but I think Cleveland looks so bad. And I might be putting my foot in my mouth here, but I think Buffalo will easily beat the Browns. I think they need to figure out how to play better in the first half, but I think Cleveland just looked like a distraught team. Shador has not been given the resources, very obviously. They don't want him to succeed in Cleveland. I mean, how do you mess up the guy's wristband? They sent him out there on the first drive with the wrong wristband. How do you, in the NFL, can you send your quarterback out with the wrong wristband in the wrong plays? So I think Buffalo is just a chaotic mess. I don't know how Buffalo comes out against Cleveland is a chaotic mess. I don't see how Cleveland comes out against Buffalo with a win.
Now, if someone were to pick Buffalo, what would be the concerns if they pick Buffalo?
I would say your big concerns would be your entire your defense and your first half. If you're picking Buffalo, you're really concerned about a slow start. They've come out with a slow start in a lot of games, and some of them they've lost and some of them they've won. So if you're looking and you see Buffalo come out slow, you're probably going to get a little unnervy, but you really need to hang in there and just wait and watch Buffalo develop and watch Josh Allen take over a game. It's something to watch, especially these last 2 years. He's really turned into a phenomenal quarterback. But I think Buffalo will maybe come out a little slow in the first quarter, maybe the first half. But then once those fireworks go off, they go off.
Thank you for that information. Another one we did say about Miami's having the QB. So right now with Baltimore, I'm saying like this. I say, you know what? Not only I would not play that game against New England, but I would say Baltimore, and I would probably say Cincinnati. Because Miami has a new quarterback, as like we did say about Tua being benched. But I would say like this, like Cincinnati, I would not only avoid that game, but I would save Cincinnati and probably would either use them in week 17 or week 18, depending on what your pool looks like. So, because like this week would probably be not the good week to play against the Dolphins, even though it is a home game.
Yeah, I would save Cincinnati for week 17 or 18. I think those Arizona or Cleveland games when Cincinnati would be at home for those games, correct? Week 17 and 18?
Let me check. I know the last game is Cleveland. That is a home game. That is a home game because the first time they played, it was at Cleveland.
Right. So I think Cincinnati at home, especially in those last two games of the season against what I still think are lesser teams than Miami. I think Miami had a QB problem this year, but if they had a better QB and maybe a better offensive play caller, then they could have been a better team. But I think Cincinnati will play much better against the Cardinals and will play great against Cleveland in that last game of the season. I could see Joe Burrow. He's been worrying about having fun. I could see that game against Cleveland reigniting that little kid in him. Maybe there's a little bit of snow on the ground. Maybe he has some fun in that game. For now, Baltimore. Yes, go ahead.
Now I do want to make some corrections. So that is the game with the Dolphins, that's a road game. And then the last two is home. So they're going on the road in Miami, and then their last two will be at home. So I just want to make that correction.
Yeah, so I would very much rather take Cincinnati week 17 or 18. For Baltimore and New England, I think both teams are coming into this game with a lot of questions. Baltimore is questioning if they can play a solid four-quarter game like they played against Cincinnati, or if they're just going to look flat in other games this season that they've played. I mean, they sleptwalked through a lot of their wins earlier this year, but they looked very strong in their last game. So I think New England should be worried about that. And for New England, they also need to worry about playing a complete football game. They collapsed in the third and fourth quarter, especially on defense in that game against the Bills. You can complain about calls all you want, but you need to be able to play better, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are both rushing quarterbacks. Even though Lamar Jackson's been a little banged up, you have to be able to contain the quarterback and contain these receivers on these long plays. I think New England has some big questions on defense, on if they can stop a team at the end of the game, if they can beat a great team. And I think Baltimore has some all-around questions. So if I were a pools player, this game would be like the Black Plague. Both teams have too many questions for me to go near.
Yeah, there's no point in especially when Miami has a new quarterback. It'd be best to either pick them either 17 or 18. Then the next one I'm looking at, it's another one we forgot to talk about in the NFC. That is the New Orleans Saints, because that is a home game against the New York Jets. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm going to say this, probably people going to probably think I'm crazy. I would actually pick the New Orleans Saints to beat the Jets. Depending on how many, like if you have like more than two entries, I would say go for it. But if you have like just one, I would say it would not make any sense. But I will say about the New Orleans Saints, it looks to me that the New Orleans Saints got their quarterback. And I think I read a stat saying that the New York Jets hasn't had an interception. They're the only team in the NFL that hasn't made any team to commit an interception.
Yes, I saw that stat earlier in the year. I didn't know if it was still running or not. But I would have to agree. I think New Orleans has found their quarterback. New Orleans looks like a much better team. And they look the last two games. I mean, what do you ask for an NFC South team? You ask them to beat your divisional foes. He went out there and beat both of their biggest divisional foes, the two guys leading this division. That's a spoiler as you can hope for, as if you're the Saints. So I think their quarterback, Tyler Shuck, I think he is probably going to be their quarterback for the future. I think New Orleans, if they have a high draft pick, might trade down and out of that spot. I don't think they will take a quarterback. And I can really, really see New Orleans taking this win against the Jets. I could even see them winning out the rest of the season and maybe finishing around more mid-table at seven wins.
Now, here's one. Another one I also do feel confident. Now, I looked at the information. I was looking at Kansas City. I was like, who's the Chiefs quarterback? Found out it's actually Gardner Minshew that used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I would actually feel safe picking the Kansas City Chiefs over the Tennessee Titans, because we already know how bad the Tennessee Titans is, especially when it comes to their defense. Because when you look at the schedule for the Chiefs, you're going at the road at Tennessee. More likely, you're going to lose Denver, and then you could probably even beat the Las Vegas Raiders. So you could either use them in week 16 or week 18 if you have Kansas City Chiefs on your survivor pool.
And Kansas City over the last couple of years has been a dynasty. There's no doubt about that. What would a dynasty team do when their quarterback goes down? What did the Patriots do when Tom Brady tore his ACL? Well, they went on and won 10 games that year. So what's Kansas City Chiefs going to do now that their quarterback went down? They're going to go out and play their hardest for their quarterback. They're going to let him know that we are not here letting you down. We are out here trying to play football for you. I expect a great dynasty-like team like that to still go out and win this game against Tennessee. There's no packing it in for the season for the Chiefs. They will go out and play their hardest these last three games, especially against Tennessee and especially against Denver. I think this team will absolutely love to have be able to run the table and take over Denver and maybe take them out of the first seed in the playoffs.
You know, this will be like my top two teams for week 16. That would be like the Philadelphia Eagles beating Washington, Kansas City beating Tennessee, and then I probably would have third would be the New Orleans Saints beating the Jets. I know some people say it's a trap. I'm like, I don't think that game's a trap, especially when the Jets, I will say about the, if you're the Saints, you want to be careful with the Jets passing defense. But I would say the Saints is considered safe against the Jets.
Yeah, and I would have to agree. I think my top three would be Houston versus Las Vegas. Las Vegas hasn't looked all inspiring at all this year. I would also put Buffalo over Cleveland. I just, in my mind, after what I saw from Josh Allen last week, it's so hard for me to not think, how could he do that against any team in the league? So I think those would definitely be up there. And then third, I would probably agree with Philadelphia over the Commanders. The Commanders have not looked good, especially with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. Even though they went to overtime against the Broncos, I think the Commanders are just probably tanking for an early pick. Maybe that Caleb Downs around that 2 or 3 slot is where the Commanders want to go.
Now, here's the thing with Houston. On paper, they should beat the Raiders because we already know the Raiders are like a dumpster fire. But there are times when they play bad teams, they act like they ain't ever played football. And sometimes the games be close. So if I'm picking Houston, I'm worried about like Houston's playing inconsistency because Houston should beat the Raiders. And that more likely would be a popular pick because I don't think many people have I don't think a lot of teams, people pick Houston in their survival pool, but this would be like a top three for like as far as like popular pick. Houston should not lose against the Raiders. I mean, this should be like a home run.
Yeah, this is probably number one or two on that popular pick. Houston has not been picked very often this year. I mean, they kind of flew under the radar early in the season. And then against Buffalo, after that game, everyone was like, oh, Houston is a Super Bowl contender. We can all agree on that now. So I think Houston against Las Vegas, they should beat Las Vegas. They should absolutely smoke them out of the water. But Las Vegas does have 2 wins or 3 wins on the year, I believe. So that means they had to have beaten somebody. Which, if you're beating somebody, why can't it be Houston on Sunday? Why can't Las Vegas go out and win that game in a big shocker?
Exactly. And then another one, I remember last week when I posted a video, it was a video of you explaining, we were talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, picking the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Jets. And I saw in the comment section, there were a lot of people were saying we were capping, we know we was talking about blah, 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 so on and so forth. But I hate to tell you this, if you haven't picked Jacksonville, I got to tell you, they're going to be on the road against Denver, and Jacksonville is not consistent on the road. So good luck with picking Jacksonville facing the Broncos if you don't have a lot of teams left in your survivor pool.
Yeah, I mean, picking Jacksonville at this point in the season is – you've screwed yourself over at that point. Either you're hoping to save them for week 18 because their next two games you cannot choose. I don't care who's at quarterback for Indianapolis. Jacksonville and Indianapolis always end up going 50-50. They always end up being close games. You never know who's going to win it. So if you're picking Jacksonville one of these next 2 weeks, good luck. It's not a smart pick. It's not a safe pick. It's just a dumb pick.
Exactly. It's just it. And then I have to look at you, but like, why would you do that? Didn't you even look at NFL game day or something? Goodness gracious. I guess that's what happens when it comes to fantasy sports. Sometimes you have to deal with know-it-alls.
Yeah, know-it-alls who end up getting eliminated week one.
Exactly. But the thing is about Survivor Pool, it's best to get knocked out in the earlier week than it is with the late week, because I thought it was like the earlier week was like, oh my God, it's over. But then when you go to later week, you'd be like, okay, it's no pressure. But with earlier weeks, even though you don't pick the elite teams, you still like, you know what? Hey, at least I know that when I play a different Survivor Pool, I know like what to expect and the weeks go by.
Yep, and I think Survivor Pool is all about you can't just play one throughout the year. I think you need to play at least two or three so that you can really get a feel for what you're doing and who you're picking. It's great to get you in the game of football. It's great to get somebody who is new to the game to really become a diehard for it. I think Survivor Pool is something that everyone should try when they watch football, because it's something that you can just sit back and watch. It's not something you have to monitor every day of the week. You just have to pick your teams. And once you pick your teams, it just gives you someone to cheer for. So if you have a really crappy team this year, you know, Survivor Pool can be really great to get you into every game, even into the late games of the season. So maybe you're hoping that your team wins instead of hoping they lose every week.
All right, so now that we got that out the way, I'm trying to load it. Okay, there it is. So, like I said before earlier, I said that Splash Sports is not only available in the U.S., but is also available in Canada. So, Splash Sports is actually doing a college football playoff survivor pool. So, let me load it. Let me load the graphic up so that way you guys can actually see it. Come on. So, I will explain to you how to... Okay, there we go. I forgot the wrong window. Okay, so here it is. All right, so it should pop up. Oh my gosh. Okay, so here's how it goes. So you're going to pick two teams in the first and second round. Yeah, two teams in the first and second round, and then one in the conference, and then the finals. So let me try this again. I know I just put the dog on. Okay, let's try this again. There we go. Okay, this is ridiculous. So for example, since it's not even popping. Okay, there we go. Sometimes it can act up crazy. Okay, so here's how it goes. For example, so this is the first round. So it'd be like this. I'm going to give you an example. So you're in the first round. You're going to pick two teams. And then after that, you're going to pick two teams in the second round. And then one team in the quarter in the conference and then the championship. So the two teams I would pick in the first round, and this will save you a lot of time. I would pick Oregon Ducks beating James Madison, and then Ole Miss beating Tulane for every entry. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, that will save you a lot of time, because I remember Ole Miss did play Tulane and then Ole Miss beat the brakes out of Tulane. This will save you a lot more time. So that way you'll be like, oh man, the next round I'm all burned up and stuff. So trust me, pick Oregon over James Madison and then pick Ole Miss over Tulane.
Absolutely correct. You do not stray away from those two games, and I'll tell you why. These games are not like playing, it's not like the Denver Broncos versus the Las Vegas Raiders. These games are like the Denver Broncos versus the Tulane. The difference in teams between Ole Miss and Tulane and JMU and Oregon is so absurd that I'm pretty sure the spreads for these games are over two or three scores. I'm pretty sure for at least one of these games, it is a 3-score spread. Oregon is 21-point favorites, and Mississippi is 17.5-point favorites. So if you want to save yourself all trouble this weekend, you pick Oregon and you pick Ole Miss. You don't even have to watch the games. You can look at your phone on Monday, and you can see that you exactly. have advanced. It's so safe.
It is so safe. And I think tomorrow, I think Friday game is Alabama and Oklahoma. So if I were you playing this, I would have more than 3 entries. I would say that. I would say you more likely you would have more than 3 entries, because what you want to do is you want to spread out. Because I remember last year when I played in the next round, I actually picked, and I wasn't the only one, I actually picked Oregon to beat Ohio State. Everybody's bracket was so busted, everybody won. So, because that was the first year I played the college football playoff survivor pool. So, in this situation, just pick Oregon and Ole Miss, and then you can worry about the rest in the second round.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The Alabama-Oklahoma game and the Miami versus Texas A&M game, those are going to be – I expect both of those games to be close. If they're not close, that's on me, I guess. I think that those 4 teams are as probably evenly matched as we've seen in the college football playoff, although we're only in the second year of this expanded version. I think those 4 teams are fairly evenly matched and ranked. I think you could even say your 1-4 teams are just one tier above them, and those 4 teams are even evenly ranked. We have a lot more parity this year than last. So if you think that Ohio State's just going to run their way to the championship like they did last year, you must think again. With the NIL and the change in college football rules, there's a lot more parity, and you're going to want to stick in and stay tuned, because we're going to talk to you all throughout the playoffs about these teams.
And more like, well, we're going to talk about that next week if Oregon and if both of these teams win. So if these both teams win when I play this game, we'll be able to talk about it next week as well. Now, as I'm looking into this playoff bracket, I'm thinking like, you know what? This would be a – because you can disagree or disagree with me or this. I think Indiana has the easier bracket than the rest of these top 4 teams, if you think about it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of commotion on if the number 1 seed should get to choose their own path and pick who they get to play against. I would say Indiana certainly will have an easier semifinal game if they advance. I think their quarterfinal matchup being against Alabama or Oklahoma, I think will be a little tough for them. They haven't played this quality of an SEC opponent before. They've played Big Ten opponents right, this year, but they haven't played a team down south like this that'll play a little bit more gritty, a little bit more dirty, a little bit stronger. So we'll really see if they can handle the big test. They've handled every test so far. I expect them to handle that test when it comes. I really think Indiana is one of the premier teams we've seen in a long time. I think Kirk Cignetti did a great job. But I think they certainly have an easier bracket once you get the semifinal onwards.
And then I really, man, I'm looking at the right side between Miami and Texas A&M. I mean, Texas A&M could have been undefeated if it wasn't for them losing to Texas, because that was really unexpected.
And you could even make the same argument that Texas A&M could have had 2 losses and could have lost to South Carolina the week before when they were down 31-0. They made incredible comeback in that game. In Texas, they weren't able to, but A&M has been a strong team against not strong opponents. Miami was a iffy team against not strong opponents. I think A&M will definitely have the upper hand in this game, especially with Miami never playing in a 100,000-seater stadium in well over, not this year. I don't think they played in one last year. So Miami's going to really struggle against A&M, and with all that noise, I would give Texas A&M a huge upper hand in that game.
I would definitely love to see the Ohio State Texas A&M game in the second round. I think that would be like the most exciting game outside of whoever Indiana plays. Because whoever plays Indiana, it's still going to be exciting regardless. But I really want to see Ohio State and Texas A&M. I would not be surprised if that game is in overtime. I would not be surprised.
And to watching the A&M Miami game and Alabama Oklahoma game, if you want to see a couple star-headed potential, maybe these guys might be in the league in a couple years, maybe not this year, but really great receivers. Malachi Toney on Miami, as well as I think CJ Horton, I believe his name is, on Alabama. Those two guys, one of them's a freshman, and I think the other one's a junior. The junior in Alabama and the freshman is on Miami, Malachi Toney. Those two receivers are, I don't know if either of those two will be highly touted draft picks. I haven't seen anything so far, but I can tell you from watching their games over the last 3 years, those two boys, they can play. They can play in college, and I expect them to be able to play at the next level in the NFL.
Absolutely, man. We had a great conversation. Okay, it is 7:23. So for those that are, you are listening to this program, so the audio version will be on Friday morning because right now the site is under construction. So there will be short clips just in case if you did not watch the King of the Hill Survivor Pool show. As a matter of fact, we are on the air every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on 586 Sports on YouTube and Instagram. We're still working on the Instagram feed. So not only we do football, but we also do March Madness and possibly we'll probably do a World Cup. I have to talk to Splash Sports about that. So it's a possible. But it's exciting. So also make sure you follow us on social media at King of the Hills on X, and then on Instagram is King of the Hill Survivor. So, and also you can also follow me on X and Instagram and Threads at 586 Sports S, as you're seeing in the top, by the way. And with the audio feed, so not only you'll hear the audio feed, but you'll also hear transcripts, which is cool because not too many podcasts use transcripts. But it's a clever idea to even do it anyway. So what the heck? All right. So we will see you guys next week. Enjoy your picks. And like I said, if I do advance in my college football survivor pool, which more likely it will, we will talk about the second round and if depends on what team you're going to pick, I will tell you like which path to go to, depending on what team you're picking on. All right. So thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys next week at the same time. Take care and have a nice and wonderful evening.
One pick. One throne.